We're doing El Yaakov, and last week we had learned the different midrashim about the letters. Rav Kook Zatzal wrote a whole Kabbalistic book on a Kabbalistic midrash that exists about the letters, what the letters represent. We are learning this in simplistic form. We're not learning deep Kabbalistic ideas, even though we bear in mind that as we read the simplistic understanding of the Gemara, this Agadita, we know that there's something deeper going on here. So last week we discussed Aleph Bet means Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Daled stands for Gomel Dalim, one should be kind to the poor. Why is the leg of the Gimel extended forward? Because when a person does kindness, he runs after the poor to do kindness to them. Why does the Daled seem to be leaning back towards the Gimel? Because he wants to make himself available, so the person should be able to give him tzedakah. Why does the Daled seem to be facing away from the Gimel? Because he's embarrassed, so he'd rather accept the charity in a more modest way. Hey Vav. So Hey Vav is the name of Hashem, right? We know Yud Ke Vav Ke. So Hey Vav are the two letters that represent Hashem's name. And they represent these traits of kindness and truth. That these are the principles the world stands on. Hey Vav. Zayin Che Tet Yud Kaf Lamed. So he said they represent, if you can combine the Aleph Bina, learn Torah, Gimel Dalet, do kindness, and all of this in the shadow of Hashem, under the guidance of Hashem, so then Zayin Hashem is Zan, Hashem will feed you, Chet Hashem will give you Chain, Tet Hashem will give you Tov, Hashem will make things good for you. And Yud represents Yerusha, the idea that Torah is Morasha, and a person will have heritage and inheritance to give over. And Kaf is the Keter, Kaf stands for a crown, and Hashem will give you a crown in the world to come. We move on to the letters Mem. Where'd Lamed go? Oh. Lamed. Maybe the Lamed is La'olam Haba. Keter, La'olam Haba. That the Lamed represents La'olam Haba. Doesn't say that, right? We would have thought so. Mem, you have an open mem and a closed mem. Mem patuach, mem satum. So there are some things which are open when you learn Torah. Lamed mem. So you learn things which are sometimes open, that are accessible, and then you have the mem, which is satum, you have the closed mem. Some things are closed off. They're not so easily accessible. It's only once a person is very advanced that they could learn that. We have the nun kfufa and nun pshuta. We have the nun that is bent at the bottom, and then we have the nun that runs a straight line at the bottom. And that's the idea that Ne'eman kafuf, when a person is righteous and honest, so he should be bent over in humility. Ultimately, he becomes Ne'eman pashut. In the world to come, he'll stand proud. But in this world, a person is supposed to stand with humility. He's not supposed to be standing proud. At every moment, we know we could fall. At every moment, we know we're in balance. Hopefully, we're doing what's right. But who knows what we're going to do the next minute. So there's nun kfufa and nun pshuta. There's the ne'eman, the one who's trustworthy to Hashem, who is bent over. That's in this world, where an honest person knows that he has to be humble. And then there's ne'eman pashut. There's the time when an honest person knows he could stand straight. Samech ayin, smoch aniim, be supportive of the poor. Another interpretation is simanim asei batorah ukneyota. You have to try and make signs when you learn things in order to acquire it. That means try to make yourself signs to remember. One sign is a tune. One sign is when we learn, we use the same format, the same page, Surat Tanaf. One sign is that you try to remember numbers. You know, there are four domains on Shabbos. You know, there are, what's this week's parsha? Nedarim, Shavuos. You know, Shavuot, Shtayim, Shein, Arba. When it comes to vows, you have two which become four. So when you break it down to numbers, very often that's a good way to remember it. Sheva mitzvos bnei noach. How do we remember the seven Noahide laws? We know there are seven. We remember there. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, right? That's a good way to remember the seven Noahide laws. Aleph is Evrim Minachai. Beis is, Aleph is, you're not allowed to eat a limb from a live animal. Beis is Birkat Hashem. You're not allowed to blaspheme. Gimel is Gezel and Gilui Arayot. To say a blessing towards heaven. That's a euphemism. It doesn't mean a blessing, it means a curse. We use a positive way. Instead of saying to curse, we prefer saying to bless heaven.
Does the real Dargana
have it? Huh?
The Dargana, the Hafuch.
Right.
That's blasphemy? Like when someone says God?
Yeah.
Why?
No, blasphemy is when one expresses the curse towards heaven.
That's not a bad curse.
Back to here. Gimel is Gilui Arayot and Gezel. Dalid is Dinim. You have to have laws. What else is Dalid? Dam. You're not allowed to do murder. What's the last one? Seven.
Justice.
We said Dinim.
No murder.
Anyone? You see, when you don't have a letter, suddenly it becomes hard. And you all know it. Again, Aleph is Avram Menachai. Beis is Birkat Hashem. That's Aleph. Gimel is Gezel and Gilui Arayot. Now that is still not allowed to have illicit relationships. Illicit relationships. Dalit is Dinim and Dam. You have to set up a legal system and you're not allowed to kill. And then we have
Hey.
What's hey?
Hello. Don't say God.
We already said God is Ashur, Hashem Echad. Is that it?
No.
Almost.
Have kids.
No, it's not one of the seven Noahide laws.
The seven Noahide laws is to have kids. Who
is for Jews? Yeah.
We're up to six. Because it's Gezel and Gilui Arayot.
You told me it's Gemari.
No, it's not an Ohide law.
So, because I had an argument with you about Kent.
So Thursday night. We're missing the last one, which is Avodah Zarah. Okay?
That's not a hay.
Oh, okay. So that's what I'm showing you. When you have a siman, we remember it. When we don't have a siman, that's Gilui Arayot. Gilui Arayot, they're illicit relationships.
No, but
it's not incest. Incest is specifically with a brother or a parent, and there are other prohibited relations. Back to, adultery is also, and it's not incest, right? Eitan, adultery is not incest. Gilui Arayot means one is revealing, in intimacy, one is revealing that which he's not allowed to reveal.
What is adultery for
going? A married woman, what do you mean?
What is marriage for going?
That's a good question for Thursday night. I was just giving an example of how when we have a siman, we remember. It's easy to remember. Good question. You could say, hey stands for Hashem.
So, I said that.
Okay, I said you're close to it. I said, yeah. Back to here. So, simanim asei b'Torah. Try to make yourself signs. That's how we remember things. When we have signs, we can remember. We have the kings who don't have a portion in the world to come. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. That's also easy, yeah? Aleph. Avshalom. Beis.
Wait, is Achav one of them?
Achav, Beis, Avshalom made it to Olam Haba, to David Pleitram. Yeah.
Beit is.
Okay, you guys can look up the Mishnah in the beginning of the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, but when you know Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, so it's easy to remember Achitofel, Bilam, Gechazi. It's easy, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, when you know the order of the Aleph, Beis. Back to our Simanim. So making signs. One is to try and learn in the same order. One is to try and make yourself some type of device to remember, which can be a tune, which can be the shape of the page, which can be what we said, like the Aleph Beis. In Talmud, we very often have siman, where the Talmud will tell you six or eight words that represent what you're going to learn on that page. When I used to teach in Hesder, so one of the things I did with them when we were learning Bikiyut is when we would review what we learned at a fast pace, I'd say, let's choose five words that sum up this page. And we'd write them at the top corner of the page. Five words. That way when we want to review the page, we'll look at those five words and we know what this page covered in our learning. You make a siman. That's the samach ayin. Make a sign. Siman asay. Make signs in order to memorize Torah. One of the greatest signs is the tune with which we lain. How do I remember sections of Tanakh? Because I've lain them. When it's a tune, then it's alive. Then you could remember it. Pei kfufa. We have the letter pei that is bent, and then we have the letter pei that is straight. Pi patuach, pi satum. Pei represents the mouth. So there are times when you have to open your mouth. If you're at a place where no one's talking Torah, you teach Torah. Pi patuach, open your mouth. That means there are times where you're the one who has Torah and no one else has any content. Talk Torah. Pei satum, sometimes close your mouth. You're at a place where other people know much more than you. There are people who are teaching. Why should you teach? Listen, learn. So close your mouth and learn. It's a pei patuach, pei satum. The pei represents sometimes it's bent, which shows close it, and sometimes it's straight, it shows open it. A person has to know when he's supposed to talk, when he's supposed to be quiet. Whenever I was in yeshiva and I'd come to a sheva brachot, party over someone's being married, so if no one spoke, I would ask to speak. It's one of the only times I asked to speak, because it's not nice. The guy just got married, and his kala thinks he has no friends, no one's saying anything nice about him. So I would ask to speak, and I say a speech. I didn't usually ask to speak. I'm talking about 20 years ago. So what was I asking to speak for? But if no one else is talking, so it's not nice. In honor of the chassan, you should say something. So sometimes you got to open your mouth. Patuach. No, as a student. As a student, if no one else was saying anything, so I asked to speak. A lot. Because everyone's scared of talking. I'm not talking about the wedding, I'm talking about sheva brachos. We would make a sheva brachos in yeshiva. So all the guys felt like, I'm one of the guys here, why should I talk? If a rabbi comes, they'll talk, and if no rabbi comes, no one will talk, and that's not nice. The kala is expecting, one of the friends should say something nice about the guy. So say something nice about the guy. Tzadik fufa, tzadik pshutam. The flip side of that is that this year I was once invited to a sheva bracha, so there were no other rabbis there, but the host spoke, and he spoke beautifully, and he said beautiful divrei Torah. So I didn't ask to speak. I listened. I said, very, very nice. Yisher koach, mazel tov, and I left. Okay. If there's nice Torah being said, the Gemara says, the bent pei tells us sometimes you got to be quiet. Tzadi kfufa, v'tzadi pshuta. Have the tzadi bent, have the tzadi straight. Why? Because sometimes a tzadik is going to be bent, sometimes a tzadik is going to stand straight. There are different times in life. Sometimes a person has to be humble, and listen and not stand up in front of other people, and sometimes his job is to stand up. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you told me that already. You told me the nun represented that sometimes you're bent and sometimes you stand straight. That's what we're going to pick up with. Oh, we will pick up here, Bezant Shem, next week. Time for dinner.